Yes.
He's incredible.
It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
Power up.
Oh, there it is. I powered him.
Sorry.
We got there.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to another episode of Anime Shun.
Hey, what up, Keenan?
Hey, what's going on?
What up, Ice?
A lot of inside stuff going on.
Rob.
I am Keenan Baker. We got Rao. Who's going to say what's
hey,
up, Rao?
Hey, everybody. What's up?
Brennan.
What up,
over
bitch?
Here, Mr. Producer Face.
How's it going?
I can't even respond to you. My man Ice is here, man.
Hello,
he's
it's
back.
11:33.
How's it going, Ice, man? It's good to
accurate,
see you.
Accurate.
Very accurate.
Accurate. Thank you for that, Ice.
Thank you all for tuning in, man, to another episode, man. We are going to review, not Trigun this week, but we're going to do a Dragon Ball Super Broly movie.
Bruh, yeah. Where's your energy? What you talking about? A regular movie? This was
yo,
the regular movie.
I say regular movie. We're gonna talk about Dragon Ball Super Broly movie. Ah! Woo!
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you something, bro.
Adrenaline so high.
And I'm going to take this up front because I know I got hated for this last time. But this is how good this movie was. It's off the top.
Oh, no.
I read the spoilers beforehand.
God damn. I was so mad. We went to the movie together.
Yeah.
I was with Keenan. Yeah. I was with Rob. And we had some other friends with us. Ice was unfortunately unable to make it, but he did see it.
Yeah.
But I was so mad at Keenan because he always does this shit. He's one of those, y'all. Just in case you didn't know, Keenan is one of those motherfuckers that will look up all the goddamn spoilers before he watches an anime, before he sees the movie. Why?
Why?
Why would you do that?
You know what's funny with this one with the spoilers?
Nothing. Nothing was funny. Not a damn thing was funny. I do know. You're right. Good question. Moving on.
I was watching a video and a spoiler popped up in the video.
And
then I was just like, fuck it. It was one of those. Like, somebody said something.
Nah,
and,
bro.
And it gave me a spoiler warning. And I was like, should I cut this off? And I had my finger on the pause button.
And you should have known.
And then I was just like,
your body tried to tell you what your brain couldn't.
And it did.
I did. So, because I missed the last maybe 10, 15 episodes. Like, I started.
Yeah.
Super, like I didn't get to finish Super, like right when they were starting the big grand tournament with Jiren and all
that.
So I was like, okay, let me, just in case, I don't want to miss out on anything, so let me try to get like a speed run of those last couple episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And they fucking grouped Super like stuff into there, and then they start like show Gogeta, and I was like, man, what the fuck?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I got pissed.
Oh,
and I turned it off after that, but
everything was, by the way, spoiler alert, we're gonna give all the spoilers.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of spoilers.
And I'll say this just real quick before we get started, too. I was happy still with the movie. The movie was still amazing to me because there was some stuff that wasn't revealed in the spoilers that I read. So I was still like, oh, shit.
Did anybody else see the inconsistencies here? He said that I was watching a video and the spoilers came up, so I watched the rest. And now it's the spoilers he read. I'm just going to point that out.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, that's what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of like, because what happened was.
He's that type.
Continuity.
He's that type. He's
no. It was the spoilers.
Yeah.
It's, you read them on the screen and somebody talks about them too. All right, man. But so let's get right into it, man. This shit was amazing.
Who do we want to start? I want to start with Ice, actually. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, because Ice came in here.
Ice came in hot.
Yeah, we don't know, like, Ice's feelings on the movie.
If we watched it together, Rob, Brennan, and myself, we watched it together. We kind of got each other's feelings and talked about it a little bit afterwards.
Yeah, this is the Ice episode.
Ice was like, Ice was like, I got some shit to say. Let's do the podcast tonight.
No, y'all should have saw it. Like, he sent a group to a text to the group just like, yo, this movie, I want to do the podcast tonight. Like Keenan was just saying.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, just write your thoughts down. And he sent that Kermit the Frog like on a typewriter. Like, just like going ham. And I was just like, oh, shit, this is about to be real. Ice, what you got?
So what's going on, bro?
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
I did not like it.
I got a feel like if you had things to say.
I didn't like it,
Go on.
And it's just like how you talked about Vash. Like, it was too fucking goofy. It was goofy. And I like funny shit, but it was just like, oh, like you got Vegeta being like, oh, I don't want to do this dance. Like, in the beginning, I was so hyped. Like,
yo, that was
half,
dope. When Vegeta was like, this dance is stupid.
It wasn't funny, even goofy. That was real.
It
was like the first half of that story. Like, I could have done a whole Broly movie again with her and his, you know, and before then and stuff. Like, it took me a second to kind of rewire my brain and kind of push away all of the Broly stuff that came before and was like, this is a new canon. Like, this is canon and this is a whole different story. He's not tripping off of Goku crying or anything like that. So okay, after I rewired my brain to put that out the way and then just started watching, I was like, this is fucking dope. Only thing that pissed me off is like, well, one of the things that pissed me off is fucking Freezer's voice actor fucking drives me up a wall.
Okay, I agree with that. Like, I agree with that. But that's been since Dragon Ball Z, bro. Yeah.
But no, not that's a different Freezer though. Like,
oh, it's definitely a different Freezer.
I'm like, is this fucking Loki? Like, I didn't know what was going on. Like, that's who you sound like, Loki. And I was like,
wait, so you like the woman sounding Freezer more?
I mean, I guess just because that's the Frieza I grew up with, and I feel
I like this Frieza more.
It even took me a second with the Goku voices when they first changed. And yeah. I was just like, I'm not feeling the new guy at first, and then I got used to him because he ended up becoming the majority of my teenage year hearing him. But that first few, I was just like, I'm not fucking with him or the Vegeta voice.
It was kind of weird for me even hearing the American voices. I watched so much of Super with like the subtitles on. Yeah. Dude, that hearing the American voices again for the first time in a long time, I was sort of like, fuck. I don't even think I had even heard Whis or Beerus before English. Coming into the theater.
Even Bulma caught me off guard too. Yeah, and Bulma I was like, different. What the fuck?
Yeah. Except for maybe on like FighterZ the video game. That may be the only time I ever heard them.
I mean, but let's move that. I want to hear your gripes that are like
okay.
Because I'm just saying, like, I thought the movie was a roller coaster.
And you said you don't like it at all. You just you didn't like parts of it.
It didn't finish strong as I thought it was. Like, at first, I got hyped because I was like, all right, Dragon Ball Z back to show these young animes, you know, who the OG is. Yeah. And I was like, this is fucking dope. But then when Broly, like, the movie kind of nosedived for me when Broly and Paragus, showed up. Mm-hmm. And then, like, that whole... I don't know. I never felt like anything was in danger. Like, I never felt like when you watch Dragon Ball Z movies or Dragon Ball Z or any type of Dragon, like, you felt the world was in danger. Yeah. I think.
I get what you're saying. There was no risk. There was no big risk. It was just pretty much these guys were fighting to see who the strongest was.
Right. And it was just like, this is Vegeta. That's Vegeta. Like, I thought Paragus was going to go in and be like, whoop his ass. Like, but then he was like, go after him. And then he went after him, and then they're just like, ha ha ha, like going up. And I was still hype. I was like, all right, cool.
But some
cool.
of those fighting animations, though,
were phenomenal. Phenomenal.
That's the first time there's ever been a first person view fighting.
And
anything.
Then that when he was going hard. Through the ice, yeah, it was fucking that was amazing. Cool.
That didn't
was
make
dope.
No damn
so,
sense.
So let's get what Ice is saying. It seems like, and I think I get what you're saying. I wasn't thinking about it like that until you just said it. But there was no risk, and pretty much this was just a Saiyan fighting movie. It wasn't about like if his father was like, yo, we want to be the new head of the Saiyans. We're going to try to kill these other
Saiyans.
Eradicate
the rest of the Saiyans. Yeah.
But they're all the other Saiyans. What do you mean the new head of the Saiyans? Like, we just want to be all the Saiyans left?
No. Something like that, or in a sense of having something to where they needed something to where they were going to, because there was no, it wasn't even like, it was like, go get Vegeta. Right. It should have been like, no, he did this to us, fucking murder this motherfucker.
Right.
And murder this. I don't care who else is with him, but Vegeta has to die now. Kill this bitch.
And
if that was it, if those were the stakes, then I see what Ice is saying.
It was. It was just like I never felt the like when Boo came, shit was a real. Even when they were doing silly shit, going inside of Boo and doing all that silly shit, had to do that, like. Even when Gotenks was fucking up their fusion dance, it was silly, but there was shit on the line, like. Piccolo was like, y'all need to figure this shit out because
the world's at stake.
The world is at stake.
Side note, I love the fusion dance scene.
It was good for me too because it was a flashback. I think a lot of this movie was just fan
nostalgia.
Service.
I agree. In general is kind of like,
and I agree with that. I agree with that also.
Yeah. And then that made me think about, and then I was like, okay, I might have to scale back a little bit because if you think about Super in a sense, there's really no stakes outside of, like, your universe is gone. But then even when they won, it's like, oh, just playing. We bring everybody
exactly.
back.
Exactly. That's been my issue with Super from the beginning, though.
Yeah. I was like, let him die. Like, yeah. That's the thing.
That's it. You're gone.
Yeah. Who actually ever has died in the show? Like, it's just gone.
I get that. But then my thing was with that, I like so many of those characters.
Yeah.
Like, I like Jiren. I like Hit. Mm-hmm. That I didn't want them to go. I was like, man, they got to bring them back in some type of way.
Man, yeah. I could live without Hit.
To me, I didn't think they did Hit a disservice. I think they gave him a disservice in Super at the end. Like, I think
He had his time.
Yeah,
man.
He did when he fucking killed.
He killed Goku. Yeah. Like,
I understand that. But I fucking in this tournament, he should have been still up on par. I feel like he was pretty much like
he's the only person that stood up to Jiren outside of, like, I mean, Jiren whooped his ass, but I'm saying, like, he's the only person that even, like, got Jiren to even be in a defensive stance outside of Goku.
He's the first one to do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's the only person that gave Jiren any kind of, like, competition. But look, I want to get back to the movie because for me, I completely am with Ice on that. I agree with you. But for me, even with that point, I'm still like, I enjoyed the shit out of that adrenaline rush ass movie because 70% of the movie was just really dope fighting.
Yeah, that's
what 70% of the movie. Yeah. And then the storyline itself, like the backstory, seeing Vegeta as a kid, not giving a
with
shit
Raditz,
about
that
with
was
Raditz.
Fucking dope.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm talking about
that whole for even before Broly grew up and showed up. That was like that was my favorite.
I would watch the movie. Yeah. I would watch a whole movie that was about Vegeta's youth.
Yeah, Raditz was going around.
I would watch that. Yeah. I would watch him and Raditz and Raccoon, and then seeing them interact with the Ginyu Force.
Fucking saw Nappa with some hair, and a beard.
Zarbon in there.
I love that. Zarbon was in there. Yeah, when they rolled up on Vegeta.
I'm playing Vegeta. Zarbon. Frieza's whole like crew is there.
Zarbon and Dodoria, both of them was in there.
Yeah, it was there.
Oh, I just got like a little flash on camera.
Yeah, it wasn't like there.
Oh, it was okay.
I was like, oh, there they are. Like you saw him with the Ginyu Force, and that was it.
Yeah, Ginyu Force doing their poses. I saw Nappa, that was it.
No, but I mean, I love that. I absolutely love that. Like for me, it's like seeing that was really cool. I felt that the story itself, like I said, it could have been stronger in the sense of adding more stakes, but adding motivation for why Broly had a reason to fight Vegeta, which brought him to fight Goku, I felt like it was enough. You know what I'm saying? It's like I didn't really know the story of Broly. I didn't know it going into the movie.
Right.
I knew that it had something to do with Planet Vegeta, but that's just like as far as it went. I was like, I've seen him fight before. I watched like, you know, the clips online on YouTube and stuff. But I just knew that Broly was like super powerful.
Did you not know the other Broly story at all?
No, I didn't know.
And I was kind of in the same boat as you. Like I knew that there was like some sort of like old feud between Broly and Goku, like going back and forth. I watched probably one of the videos you guys watched. Like, what do you need to know going into the Super, the Dragon Ball Super Broly movie? And that was where I saw the spoiler about Gogeta.
Gogeta was so dope.
That was pretty tight. But yeah, a lot of this was fresh for me. I knew they redid a lot of the backstory. Mm. I mean, it seemed like. Like they really gave Goku that sort of Superman origin where his parents
sent him off. I was just about to say that. Yeah, straight up Superman.
It was cool to see his mom.
That was pretty tight.
She looked like Gohan's woman.
Videl.
She looked just like her.
Yeah. Well, so this is crazy. I didn't realize. So neither one of you guys, Rob and Brennan, neither one of you seen anything Broly based.
This was the first Broly movie I had ever seen.
I've seen the other.
You guys are lucky.
I saw the fight. I watched like the fights from the other Broly movies. I've seen those, but I didn't watch the storyline. No,
I would suggest watching the second one. Is cool. The
Bionic Broly.
No, don't watch Bionic Broly. Do not watch that shit. But watch the first two because it's funny. Goku fighting Broly in this one, it really does. It's not even about that. That's why I'm saying the stakes in that. I get you because there's nothing in the sense of like. Their fight meant nothing. This is just to show Goku's just being like, "Yo, I want to be strong, and this motherfucker's strong too."
Yeah.
Whereas, and if you watch the other Broly one, it's like it's a sense of pretty much Goku drove Broly insane as a kid, as a baby, and Broly's just like, "I'm gonna murder this motherfucker for driving me into being a maniac."
Yeah,
gotcha.
So there's a stake in there to where he's like, "I'm coming here," and Broly's mind in those other movies is like, "I'm killing you. Yeah. There's no we're fighting. I want to murder you. Oh, they with you?" Them motherfuckers get murdered too.
And that's the same thing too, because it was like, and they kind of did that formula because Vegeta fought Broly the first time before Goku did.
Yeah.
And fucking Broly wiped. I've never seen Vegeta get his ass whipped like that.
No, wait. Including when Frieza put him in the, like, fucked his shit up when he thought he was a Super Saiyan, like, on Namek.
Let me tell you something.
Do you remember how bad that was? Like, wrapped his tail around his throat and just beat the life out of him?
It's probably, I mean, you can probably go between those two, but Broly fucks him up in a sense of to where, because here's the thing, the stakes, too, in the first.
L's, man.
And when you watch the first Broly movie, the whole thing is that this guy is the legendary Super Saiyan.
Right.
So it's like.
Maybe I did see this.
So Vegeta's kind of like. And maybe you've seen the clip, so you might have heard stuff in there.
Yeah.
But in the sense of like, Vegeta's kind of like, yo, why are we even fighting this nigga? Like, he's the legend.
Yeah.
We don't have a shot. You can't beat the legend in this.
Yeah.
I've never seen Vegeta bitch out like that. He fought him, and then he realized his strength. And that's another thing, and I think that was kind of in the back of my mind. Like, Broly wasn't the magnitude that he was in the first movie.
So
like,
wait. He might not have been, but for me, that's actually something that was really impressive about this movie. This is the first time for me in Dragon Ball anything history where Goku and Vegeta knew. It was like unspoken words. They just knew they could not compete with this guy.
At
first they were fighting him and stuff like that, but what I'm saying is like when they really started getting into it, then Goku went like, you know, Super Saiyan Blue, you know, and Vegeta did the same, and they're fighting him. Like, they instantly knew, like, we're not on the level of this guy. And that's why they just instantly was like, here you go, Frieza.
That kind of messed me up because I was like, why didn't y'all, like, they didn't even fight him that long. To
they
be
really
like,
didn't. I thought Vegeta had more to give when right. Goku stepped in. And yeah. Goku's like, yo, it, let me get my minute.
He didn't, Vegeta wasn't done at all.
No.
Yeah.
Not and at that all. Was, is that the first time we've seen Vegeta go Super Saiyan God Red?
And
we don't
and
see
the,
him
and,
see
and,
yeah,
the anime,
that was the first time.
And,
I've
and,
never,
and, in the anime, in the manga, he's done it before.
Oh, okay.
No, but
okay.
In the anime, like in Dragon Ball Super, he never did that.
He
so like, when
he
did that,
he skips it.
Yeah, he skips it. When I saw that, I was like, whoa, when did he learn that?
Right.
But it was cool. He looked really cool.
Yeah, like, they didn't do Ultra Instinct at all either. And
at
I thought
all.
They were
that's,
too.
That's what I was wondering about. I feel like Ultra Instinct would have done it. But the other thing that I found, one of my favorite parts of the movie, easily, is the part we're talking about right now, is when they're fighting and then Goku's like, here you go, Frieza. He just puts Broly right.
And I'll say,
oh, another thing that pissed me off, I thought he was gonna fight Whis. Like that was like I got excited when he started swinging.
Know.
And she was like,
Whis, I don't.
He was like moving and stuff. I was like,
you already know though. Whis isn't gonna lose to anybody.
Just real quick for the people, we're going to keep jumping around a lot. Yeah. We're gonna be jumping from beginning to end to middle.
Yeah, I figure we'll
don't,
just.
Yeah, don't worry about
this. Is not
we're
chronological.
Not going, yeah, it's not chronological at all.
No,
but
we're just having a fan.
But yeah, when he started swinging at him, I'm like, yes, like that's what I wanted because it's like, all right, like
nobody
you
want to
see his power level, and it was like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, yes, bullshit. Like, I got mad because, like, I don't want to see him fight Frieza. They're already, both Goku and Vegeta are already stronger than him.
Hey,
so it's like, I don't want
to
see that.
I
enjoyed that part, to be
and,
honest.
And when I read, and I know, back to the spoilers. But when I read the spoilers, and they said he was fighting Whis, I was hyped.
Yeah.
And then I saw that small scene. That was one of the probably only things in the spoilers that made me upset because I'm thinking him and Whis get a good 5 minute battle in.
And then
not really anything.
And it was
Whis just avoiding his head.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts that I don't know if anybody even realized was that people gotta understand Frieza got his ass whooped for an hour and some change.
Yeah, that's what I was saying too. Yeah. It was like another 30 minutes. Another 30 minutes.
Yo.
And
then you gotta
give Frieza credit though. Frieza stood up to Broly for that long without dying.
Did he stand up or he got his ass whooped and was
just
dying?
I love when
he
turned gold though. Yeah. Like he was talking shit. He's like, oh, you think it's that easy, motherfucker? Broly's like,
yes, it is that easy.
Yes, I do.
I do wish we got to see more of Frieza getting his ass whooped because that's
what
I was looking
for. That is your favorite thing. I know.
I love watching Frieza get his ass whooped.
It's
my favorite thing.
But he was getting served up. But one of the most this is honestly kind of why I love and hate Frieza too. This motherfucker is so diabolical. When he killed Broly's dad, just be like, let's get this motherfucker
that
stronger.
That was incredible.
But that's what pissed me off about that. They breezed through that. Like that should have been a defining moment. That he should have died in slow mo. He should have died like
it was over real.
Like I didn't look. And he was like, hey, look, like that should have been a moment where it's like, you fucking what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then Broly looks and snaps, and like that really could have been.
Can we just take a moment though and appreciate that Frieza did that though?
Like, yeah, that was crazy. It was a cool calculated move for him to like give that whole flashback of just like when these Saiyans lose somebody they really like, they go Super Saiyan, and then he just like does it.
Yeah.
But I agree, especially considering how complicated his relationship was with his dad. The fact that he put a fucking shock collar on him and told him like, "No, fuck your pet friend." Like we don't. He shot his only friend that he had as a kid growing up. Yeah. That he even abandoned him on this planet, kind of in the first place or whatever. Yeah, I mean. I was a little surprised that he was in that feelings about his dad. I mean, granted, he's the only person he's really known his entire life.
Right.
Yeah.
But his dad was a piece of shit.
Yeah,
like,
he was. He was garbage.
I'm with Rob on that. I'll go ahead.
Oh, this is super random, but like Broly's outfit, like on the ship, that black, I was like, that's fucking
hard.
That's
what's
hard.
Cool.
I was
that's
hard.
Yeah. No, so also, but I'd say that, in like the long run, his dad was a piece of shit. But in like the flashback, like when he's like younger, his dad was awesome. Like he's sending off his son. He's like, I'm gonna go find him. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna leave everything. I'm gonna
go dad shit.
Yeah.
Like King Vegeta though. On some
King Vegeta was
shit.
A hoe.
Like,
he was a hoe.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
But he might have been right. Like that's when he's like, damn, you might have been right. The kid was too powerful. But I also found that was really interesting though, is that they have the ability to look at these kids' battle power rankings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their internal abilities before they even leave. But it's also inaccurate because Goku looked like a regular motherfucker.
Yeah,
yeah.
And obviously he's more powerful than Vegeta, but less powerful than Broly.
And he said it. He sent it to him. He's like, I'm gonna send you to Earth where you'll be able to adapt. Their low power levels. Like,
yeah. But it was also funny to see, like, kind of like they handed it that low key Goku was kind of slow, like he was like the slow kid.
Yeah, he's like skinny. He's too small.
Too small. He couldn't. His speech wasn't well yet. And even Raditz was kind of like, I don't give a fuck about this guy. Like,
he was a low seed warrior anyway. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean the Saiyans in general, you know, they're very Spartan and very much like, you got to be the strongest one. Which is, you know, we saw Bardock's dad when he was just like, oh yeah, I know a way to save some food and just like. fucking shoots that dude right out.
I mean,
the
Broly's dead.
Oh, yeah.
You said Bardock, and I'm like, man, I love Bardock.
Yeah, he was dope. Even Goku's mom was just like, why do you give a fuck? Like,
yeah.
That's not like a saying man to care about what their child. He was like, I don't know, I just have a weird feeling about this.
He was dope because I love, and one thing I didn't think I was going to be able to see in this movie is that one of the things you know is when Frieza attempts to, in different ways that they've shown how Planet Vegeta has been killed or destroyed, is that you always see that Bardock is the person standing up to Frieza.
Right.
In this movie, they didn't really set it up like that.
Yeah.
You know, but then you still saw it, though. You saw the after effects. Like, they still gave homage to it because he's the one that's doing the blast. Mm-hmm. That it looked like a dope blast.
It looked like he had been through some shit, too. Yeah, like, there was, you know, they kind of allowed the space for that story of Bardock trying to stand up to Frieza. There's still room in the story that they told here for that to live.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I will say, in story wise, I even though I think the stakes were higher in the other Broly movies, my lady did join us when we watched the movie, right?
Yeah.
And she was watching it, and she was like, "Yo," she's like, "So I was Team Broly the whole way. Mm-hmm. I got him. I was with him. I wanted him to win, low key. I was on his side."
Yeah.
And then I told her the story about the first two Broly movies, and she was like, "Honestly, I'm not fucking with that. It's not enough." Yeah. It didn't make him like human. It didn't make me want to sympathize with him. She's like, I sympathize with him this whole fucking movie. Like, this poor guy.
They set him up really well.
Yeah. I think the whole premise of him crying, I always thought that was silly.
Yeah.
Right.
But as far as he took it, and when, you know, how live it was when he showed up, that was crazy to me. And that was like the stakes. But that's just, and then also another thing that kind of pissed me off was the soundtrack. Like, that shit made me mad. Like, it was like, they were saying their name in the background.
Yeah,
like,
that was weird. Yeah. Gogeta. Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering what that was. Like, I was like, are they saying their name?
What the fuck? Yeah, like, that kind of took me out of it, in a sense, because I couldn't really enjoy the fight scene as much as I wanted to, because it's just like, whoever was fighting, it was like, Vegeta. Yeah. I'm like, come on.
I forgot about that. You're right. That did happen.
That was mad corny.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part of the movie? And least favorite part. Favorite and least favorite part. So we'll start with Ice, since he seems the most opinionated. What was your favorite part, Ice?
Favorite part of the movie?
Ooh,
I think it, for me, it was two. If I had to pick one, it would be when Raditz and Vegeta, when they were talking. And I think that, like, that whole span of, like, her seeing his mom was cool, and then when Vegeta and Raditz were talking.
All right. I think that least was favorite. My favorite.
Least favorite. The ending when they made the wish and he disappeared, I was like,
cop out.
That was fucking trash. Yeah,
okay.
I was Kenan. Upset about that.
Once, I guess I would say when that whole scene when Goku went blue for the first time and they fought, that the visual, well, that shit was just beautiful. Like, I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah.
Beautiful is.
It was a beautiful sight to see. The colors were amazing, and then that fight scene was just absolutely, like, just epic.
Yeah.
I kind of might be with Ice on this. It's like the ending was kind of whack to me. I like that Goku acknowledges himself being Kakarot. Broly, you can call me Kakarot. I thought that was dope.
Yeah,
finally acknowledging you're saying.
He's never done that before.
That was amazing. But in the sense of, like, now I'm like, first of all, I did think it was a cop-out to get him wished out. And I was just like, yo, what's going to happen now? Like, is he the homie? Or, what's happening? What's going on?
I want to see how he's going to be integrated into the canon now. Because it's like, oh, when I'm going to come visit you and spar. And it's like, all right.
Yeah, is it a sparring session or like, yo, come kind of join us now and fight motherfuckers in the universe? Or
I think what I see is maybe Frieza coming back and replicating that collar and or doing something to take over Broly.
I don't think
with higher stakes.
But how would Broly? I think Broly's kind of like, bruh, I'm not fooling with none of y'all. I got my boo now.
Yeah.
She has my best interests. Nah, Rob, what are you?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on a lot of those points. My favorite part was when, even though I thought Vegeta had a lot more to give in his fight, my favorite part was when Goku stepped forward and that whole fight of him, like, starting off normal, going red, then going to blue. That fight for me was probably the best. I thought the Gogeta thing was cool, but like, there was so much happening that I was like, kind of like, almost like I couldn't tell what the fuck was going on.
It was kind of fast
because it was so fast paced.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it was a cool fight, but I mean, even just, you know, Broly giving Goku the fucking Hulk Loki treatment when he was like fucking slamming him around by the leg.
Yeah. That was amazing.
That was pretty cool. My least favorite part was, yeah, when Goku showed up on the planet, because one of my criticisms of, you know, DBZ, or, you know, they're always like adding bad guys to the roster, mm-hmm. and like just being like, oh no, we're cool now, like we'll just chill. And I'm like, let the bad guys be bad guys, like other than Frieza, like, or I guess Cell.
Cell's like the only one that's like, no, you need to die.
And it's just like it kind of takes their teeth away, like, and it just like, I don't know. But yeah, I thought it was weird that orange dude was just like, yeah, I guess I'll hang out with you two like while they're limo. Just like banging on the planet. Like, he's just going to be like,
hey,
sitting outside that capsule hut with like a pillow over his head, you know, trying to ignore that shit.
Can I watch, bro? Can I watch?
Good old cuckold.
But yeah, like, I guess I can, like, how does Broly fit into this going forward? Does Goku, like, all right, sorry, Vegeta, you're out as my training partner.
I'm
fucking with this other dude on this other planet. Like, you just instant transmission there and hang out there and
he can take Vegeta with him.
He could, but would he? He didn't that time.
Yeah,
like
he didn't a couple times. Even initially, when he went to go train with Whis, he didn't even say nothing.
Yeah,
and then Vegeta was like, "What the fuck?" Like,
no, actually, Vegeta was training first, and then Goku was like, "Yo, what's going on?"
Exactly.
They on some like one upping you type shit. So I think Goku would definitely go without Frieza. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, Brennan.
Oh, mine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who else?
Well, you know, I like to wait until people ask me questions to answer.
What
we
just did.
Thank you, Kenan. So look, I'm real simple. I like little small moments, but the moment that I really liked actually was the very first moment of the fight when Broly like attacked Vegeta, and then Vegeta, like, how he smirked, that smile thing.
Yeah,
for me, that was fire. I was just like, yo, let's go.
That's
like, for me, that's
thing.
When I got, I just got hype. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's about to go down. You know, I was geeked. So I love that, but I also, I also loved everything you guys said too. Mm. Like I said, it was a big deal for me to see the first person fighting thing scene ever, where it's just like, you're really in Broly's eyes and you switch to Vegeta's eyes and you're back in Broly. It's crazy. That was, it was hard to keep up with. My least favorite thing about the movie actually was that, per true, it's anime, gotta have the sexism.
And
so they just like over sexualized the character that was kind of like Broly's girlfriend. It's just like, there was a whole scene where it's just like her ass was the foreground of the scene.
Oh, we all looked at each other in the theater like, what the fuck?
Why?
That was so unnecessary.
Yeah.
I thought that would be
the fact that you know exactly what we're talking about.
That was so unnecessary. Just over there looking out like, oh my god, what is that? What are those Dragon Balls?
Do I stand? I always stand in this fertile position.
It's just all ass. It's just ass, and then Limo was behind her like, and it was like, come on, bro.
Even the old guy, like, he gave a look kind of once like, looking at that, and then even when we're in the theater, I just kind of, I felt like a little bit of maybe either uneasiness and weirdness in the back of us.
Yeah.
We were kind of in the front, and like I heard when they showed that scene, everybody kind of knew, but they didn't say too much. But they were kind of like, "What the?"
Yeah,
it was dumb.
Even too, she would like kept messing with her like
her
top and
stuff,
and then I'd be like, "All right, come on."
We understand. Yeah. We understand that she was pretty curvy.
Yeah,
no, but you heard what I said though. Like, this whole thing could have easily been solved. Like, after the movie, it's like, yo, Broly just needed some pussy. Like,
yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's what he needed. Like, he just needed to have sex.
Throw it back on him one time.
Because she was ready. I'm saying though, she was ready for it though. She was
like, you don't need no collar, nothing to be like, hey.
You don't need no collar.
Don't tame yourself. You can go ahead and go.
Woo, let it out, baby. Let it out. And that's what I'm saying though. It's like, my man grew up on a planet with nothing but deadly animals and another man.
And how old is he? Like 40-something years before, so he was 40-something years old, right, or something like that.
Bro. Yeah, same age as Goku and Vegeta, who
so
have multiple kids and grandkids.
So he's out there 40 years. He's a true 40-year-old virgin.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was a true 40-year-old.
That's what this movie was. It was the 40-year-old sane virgin.
Crazy.
Wow. Yeah, because he was like the same age as Vegeta, and like, so when he got sent off, there was still like another 3 years later before Frieza rolled up. So yeah, he's like almost 45.
Yeah, and he's not even a weirdo. He's actually like a handsome dude.
No, he was weird.
I mean, in the sense, when they first got to him.
Yeah, everybody going to be weird.
I mean, looks-wise, he could probably get a point.
He's like, what is this?
He ate honey.
Water? What is water?
Right. Yeah.
No, first of all, that made no sense. He should have been dead. You can't survive without water.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
You can survive 40 years without water.
Yeah.
Where? Who?
No, you saw what he was eating. He's eating the juice from the bugs.
Honey,
protein. That's right.
That's what I'm saying. He was eating stuff. He was eating liquid stuff. So it's like your body extracts the water from other things. So you don't necessarily need exactly water. Like, some people don't drink water. They drink nothing but Coke. You
that
know what
blows
I'm saying?
My
water
mind when people
has
say
water
that.
In it, yeah. But that's insane.
But that's what I'm saying. You get my point, is that you don't have to actually have literal water to survive.
Man,
the fact that he's a 40-year-old virgin, he's about to. Because you know what's funny? People are about like, Broly going to destroy her. No. Let me tell you something. She going to put it on this dude for a good first month or two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she going to.
I don't know. He might do it the first time because he adapted when he was fighting Vegeta.
Yo, that's a good point. Yeah,
very true.
So he gonna adapt like, oh, okay, this is the position. All right,
but look, we also know Saiyans really aren't about the sexual life because, you know, how often is Goku around Chi-Chi? How often is, like, Vegeta's probably the most sexual Saiyan of all of them.
Yeah, he's around Bulma and he shows his affection somewhat.
Vegeta probably gets it in more than anybody else.
His spectrum, they have, like, from beginning of Dragon Ball Z, like, his spectrum has grown
tremendously. Yeah.
You have to say that even though Goku keeps getting the one-up of Vegeta, Vegeta probably might be the best character in the sense of, like, character development. It's not even close.
Yeah, Goku's never changed.
Goku's been an idiot this whole time.
Actually, I would disagree. Yeah. I would disagree with that statement. I'd say Piccolo. Piccolo has the best character development. Did you watch Dragon Ball?
Yes.
Like where he came from, how he had to split, and how he had to come back together, then he became a Super Namek.
You can argue both.
He raised Goku's son. He pretty much became Goku for part of the show.
What race is Piccolo?
He's Namekian.
I mean, like,
he's black.
He's black as fuck. He's
tall as fuck.
Yeah.
He is tall.
I was watching that. I was like, God damn it. I didn't know Goku was, like, I never put together how taller Goku is than Vegeta. But then, like, when they, in comparison to fucking 8'12" Piccolo,
I think Goku's shorter than 5'9", I think, in the sense of, like, when you look it up online, they have, like, Vegeta's like the quote unquote heights. Yeah. But, I mean, I can see your argument with Vegeta and Piccolo. The reason why I say Vegeta, because all the stuff he went through too, and then him being the type of family man, the type of person he is now. But I can understand your argument for Piccolo. I'm not going to necessarily disagree with you.
I mean, do you remember what he was like?
I remember exactly what he was like. I get what I'm saying. I can't really argue with you on
that. But that's I think that's so, it. Once it grew from that, it kind of stopped. Like after Gohan,
Piccolo was the original.
Piccolo didn't grow after he started teaching Gohan.
Yes, he did. He went to Planet Namek with Gohan after
starting
teaching.
Nails,
he fused with Nails.
Nails, yeah.
He fought Kame. Frieza,
Kame. He went Kame.
He's 3-1.
But I think in a sense what Ice is saying, I think that's pretty much where it stopped for Piccolo.
Yeah.
But the same thing was with Vegeta's. Like after he had Trunks.
No,
that's pretty
much it. Even now on Super, he literally grew again.
Yeah.
How so?
I think he wasn't with the dance, but
like just him becoming this big family man, even the type.
He was a family man after he had Trunks.
Not really. He still wasn't fucking with Trunks like that.
It wasn't to the point, it was like a tough love. It was like a Kratos thing, like with,
you know. When Bulma had his daughter, and what did he do? This is what the biggest thing to me. He was like, I'm not even going to go train. My wife's pregnant, fam. What are you talking about? Go train. But the tournament. I don't give a fuck about the tournament.
We didn't even experience that in Z, though. Like there was no time when Bulma was pregnant with Trunks. You know what I'm saying?
He didn't give a fuck.
But I'm saying, though, but it wasn't even part of the show, though, is what I'm saying. It's like that time period.
But even when Trunks was around,
he obviously gave at least one fuck. That's how he got it.
But what I'm saying is, in this particular instance now, and I see what you're saying, but to a point, he was kind of just like, yo, you're not that strong. If you can't handle the heat, get out the kitchen. And Trunks could be like, I'm Super Saiyan too, motherfucker. And it turned Super Saiyan like, when did this happen?
Yeah.
But he didn't really, it was never, until.
But he took him there, though.
But until Super. When you saw in Super, even with Trunks, when Future Trunks came back around,
incremental growth, if that. But it's not like he became, like I'm saying, like I still think in Z, he did care about Trunks.
After he was born, he fucked off to another planet to turn Super Saiyan until like the androids came around.
Well, but that had nothing to do with Trunks.
What are you talking about?
That's the point. It didn't have anything to do with Trunks. You're just like, I'm fucking out of here.
You go from leaving the planet when your son is born to staying when your wife is pregnant.
And I get that, but at the same time, it's like he left the planet so that he could become on the level of Goku. He already was on the level of Goku.
But was he doing it for his son? Baby. He wasn't doing it for his family.
But I'm saying he was doing it for himself. But I'm saying he would have done the exact same thing if Goku had achieved Super Saiyan when Vegeta had his second child or a new thing. Vegeta would do the same thing.
I think he would have waited just like he did this time. Yeah.
Either way, I have another argument I want to get into.
Okay.
What we got?
Saiyans as black people in America.
Oh, there was a lot. There was a lot going on.
Yeah, for sure.
Bruh.
I saw that. I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
This is why black people love Dragon Ball Z so much.
Yeah. Exactly. And we talked about this before on one of the other podcasts, but I think if you ever YouTube, it's a YouTube thing when RZA either speaks about it or talks about it like in some type of interview. Yeah. Mm. He speaks about how he was like, he made a correlation between blacks and Saiyans.
Yeah. I mean, this movie was called Monkeys.
Yeah, this movie was clear and evident. Let me tell you something. Bruh, this dude Frieza out the gate as a kid. Monkeys, listen.
Monkeys, yeah.
Listen, as soon as his father gave him the throne, monkeys, y'all need to listen to me. Right. Yeah. Out the fucking gate.
No, it just it
David
just,
Duke.
It's straight up hell like yeah, yeah, Frieza, yeah, Frieza is like the leader of the Ku Klux Klan is what it feels like because or,
and it was
or Trump,
stealing in him.
However you want to look at it.
Yeah.
But I say it's like it just when you're watching it, it's just like it feels a lot like you're watching these other movies of like what it was like to live in the United States any time before 19 or 2000.
What, right. When you watch, when you watch, there's a lot of movies where history is hidden and facts are hidden and things are hidden in whether it's
like
cartoons
like
and movies
X-Men and stuff. Yeah,
yeah and they yeah. hide that stuff purposely because it's just like oh, just it's just a it's just a cartoon. We're not really saying it.
Yeah, but I'm saying though, it's like also you know that there's a lot of like racism when it comes to like a lot of Asian cultures and stuff like that. And then,
facts.
But the thing is, it's like yo, when you become a legendary warrior, your eyes turn colors and your skin and your hair turns blonde.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, we can relate all day, but it's like, okay, but when you achieve your greatness, what happens?
You turn into a white person.
Turn into a white person. It's just like, damn, man.
I think there are still some, I mean, and if you look at how black people are depicted, like actual black people are depicted in Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z.
Mr. Popo,
it's
bro.
Fucked up. Yeah. No, like actual, like in the tournament, people, that big dude with the big ass fucking lips and the little afro, boxy ass.
That's my
head,
point is, I don't
like,
think they did that on purpose. We just found, I personally don't think that when they were writing Dragon Ball Z, that they were like, yo, like, I want this to relate to the African-American plight in the United States. I don't think that was ever a thought.
No.
I don't necessarily think it was necessarily the African-American plight, but I think the writers do know, I'm talking about history in general.
Yeah. And they, black people been around. Like, it wasn't like a new thing that Japanese people never saw. And it was like,
I get it.
And they saw a lot of shit. They see a lot of shit in where they're at, where a lot of things that they kind of, even in some places in Asia or whatever, that they kind of worship darker skin people or whatever like
in
that.
Japan, but I'm saying it's like I think you're right in the sense of that it's just general oppression. It's just like general human oppression. I don't think it really was related to darker skinned people or black skinned people. Just like, you know, this is what oppression looks like regardless of where it is. So they just use that in Dragon Ball Z, and simply because in United States for us it's like we get called monkeys kind of thing. So for us we're just like, yo, not only are these people being oppressed by an overlord who has everything and has all the technology and has all the shit, they also are being called monkeys. So for us, we're like, yo, black people.
I think
but what I'm saying is I don't think that that's how they wrote the show.
I
think it was just a coincidence. I personally think it's a coincidence.
I can't fully agree just because they made Frieza too white supremacist-y.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not a word, but.
Maybe in this movie.
But definitely did, bro.
Maybe in this movie they started doing that. But what I'm saying is, like, in the history of the show.
It's not even in
the. I don't think. Like, you were saying, like, the way they depict black people is pretty racist. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. But Frieza, let me tell you something. Frieza has been this way since the beginning. I think the writers of this are throwing stuff in there. You can go back to even Super when it was like, he's not black. Wait, it's like that whole, like, they've been doing shit. If you watch the whole thing again, they've always threw little shots in there, kind of about us in there. I don't think it's, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think, and I think in what you're saying, it's not all about us. I agree with that.
Yeah,
I think it's 100% I think
a coincidence.
But I think it's, I can't. These guys are smarter than that, bro.
Yeah, especially now. Maybe you can get away with that in the early 90s. But, like, at this point and with this racial climate and social climate, I feel like that they have more intent with their pen and
that
with their writing.
That Goku's not black shit was definitely a shot. That was definitely kind of like, let's see. Yeah.
What do you mean Goku's not black shit? What are you talking about?
Like, when Goku black and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's like, wait. Remember, he was like, don't shoot him. He's not black.
No, I don't remember that.
In Dragon Ball Super, when they went to Trunks' planet.
Right.
Trunks' future again.
Yeah.
When Goku showed up, the people, the personnel that was on Trunk's team about to shoot him. They were shooting at him. And they're like, wait, don't shoot. He's not black.
Yeah. It was like Goku Black is what they meant.
But they could have said Goku Black.
Yeah, again, I still stand by what I said.
I
still think it falls. I mean, I want in my heart of hearts to think that that's what they were thinking about. And it's like, yo, we're, in solidarity with you, brother. But I just, there's just so much about it that contradicts that. The show in general and how the show comes together, how they depict black people, how they depict Super Saiyans. There's just so much shit in there that just really falls into, like, we actually support this idea of white supremacy. If there is any ideas of racism that we're like giving out, it's like these characters are created by Japanese people, but they all look white.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like.
But how do you draw it? That was my thing too, because, like, I'm a big Naruto person and Naruto has blonde hair. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Naruto, like, everybody in Naruto doesn't really look Japanese like that. Like, but that's how Japanese people draw themselves. Like, you look at, like, freaking Bakugan and Deku and all of them, like, they don't look freaking, I mean, obviously All Might is American, but everybody looks like All Might. Like, a lot of people look like All Might. And you, even Brotherhood, the Elgaric Brothers, they're just regular, they're
Japanese?
They're supposed to be Japanese because in the live action they were Japanese.
Yeah.
But in the show, it's like, they're both blue-eyed, blonde-haired boys. Like, so yeah, it's like, yeah,
true.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's like, I think it comes down to like self-identification in the sense of like how they see themselves or what they see as value. Because the thing is, you could draw somebody to look Japanese. Like, that's not like it's an impossible feat.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And you wouldn't even have to do nothing, like, not to sound racist, but you wouldn't have to do nothing crazy to their eyes to be like, oh, that's a Japanese person. Like, you can.
No, I mean, there's certain Japanese shows, like, for example, Baki. You know, I just finished watching that. I think a lot of the people in that show do look Japanese.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you do. Like,
yeah.
You know, because they have people from all over the world. It's like, yo, this dude's from Japan. He looks Japanese.
Yeah.
And doesn't take any way, thing away from the show for me.
Samurai Champloo, a lot of those people, like, they look Japanese.
Yeah, yeah. They had the Americans show up on that show, and they did look different. They were drawn a little differently than the rest of the people on the show.
My point being is that I think there's some kind of cultural norm or something when it comes to anime where it's just like you, regardless of what your background culture is supposed to be, especially if it's Japanese, you just draw people, everybody to be white. And is that for it to be assimilated into American society or Western society and be able to be watched because they know that there is an obsession in Asian countries with lighter skin? Like when I was traveling through Southeast Asia, I had a really hard time finding I had to, you know, I'm black, I'm traveling, I need lotion.
Yeah.
I had a hard time finding lotion in Asia that didn't have bleach in it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm just like, think about that. Just think about that. You know, so if you take that kind of a thought and say, okay, well, now you look at the way that they draw themselves and depict themselves in cartoons as white people, you know, it's like there might be something to it.
I think that's part of it. I think that's part of it,
yeah,
too.
Definitely. I would agree.
Came back looking like Sammy Sosa if you would hear you say that.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. And that's why I wouldn't use it. But that's what I'm saying is like they, like in a lot of Asian culture, I can't speak for all of them. I've only been to what I've been to.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, darker skin is considered those of people who are outside working in the fields, obviously in lower class.
I said most cultures.
It's a lot of cultures.
Yeah.
But it's very pronounced there. So it's just like to the point where people, you know, you'll see people walking around with like big sun hats and gloves on and stuff like that. They don't want the sun to touch their skin because they don't want their skin to be any darker than it is.
Yeah.
And on top of that, they'll put bleach on their skin,
man,
to make it, you know, lighter.
Yeah.
So it's just like, now if you're thinking if that's what the kind of culture is and now they're making cartoons and all the cartoons look like white people and you're just like, all right, cool. Like, but they really are about this black people black plight. I'm like, I don't know, bro.
I mean, Kale specifically in Super, like, she was drawn with like darker olive skin, but
she was,
when she went like Broly Capla, Super Saiyan or whatever, she was pale white.
Yeah.
Pale white and
blonde both of hair.
Them. No, it's funny. You mentioned that Kale and what's Kefla?
Yeah.
Was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, both of them were olive, darker skinned women. And then they came together to become a powerful being. They became Broly, pretty much, but blonde hair, pale skin.
Yeah.
Colored eyes.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna get into the eye color fight today.
colored
eyes outside of brown or black.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
I think it was like I got that right off the back. Even from a perspective of there's like, oh, why are he bringing us all together? What's going on? And like them having that unity, be like, oh, happy to see you. I'm surprised you're back, Bardock. And like you can tell that it was like a community of people that were under somebody else and were looked at as less than.
I agree. I'm with Brennan on the sense of like it's probably just a story of oppression.
Yeah.
But I do think there is jabs in there or things in there and or about black people or not.
Even the physical aspect. What's one of the running stereotypes of black men? Big digs. Bigger man, athletically, like if you look at sports,
it's athletically, physically superior. Supposedly.
So then that's exactly. But on the other end, we're still looked at as like, granted, we're physical specimens, but we're brutes and we don't have a mind of our own and stuff like that.
That's what Saiyans are.
That's at least how they perceive is bigger, superior, athletic men that are warriors, but that's all they know how to do is fight. They don't know love. They don't know compassion. And
they don't take care of their sons or their kids.
Yeah. Well, so
that's
like
terrible.
I'm just saying that's what it was, I mean, in the movie. Yeah. But I'm saying I still stand by. Like I think
Vegeta's dad was great. He's kind of a good father.
No.
To his son, he knew his son was going to be the next king, and he even exiled a motherfucker because he wanted his son to be the best.
Right.
Yeah, he
I'm
did.
Just saying, I get that, but that doesn't make you a good father. I mean, Vegeta, like when Vegeta was on the planet and found out that his dad had died, and his whole planet and the history of his people is gone, he didn't give a shit. That is not a good father would instill like for you to care about your community,
but
to care about your family, to care about any part of who you are, where you're from. And he finds out and he doesn't even finish eating. He just keeps eating the purple shit and keeps it moving. That is not for me. He was not raised by somebody who gave a shit or was a good father.
He set him up for success.
In what way? In the like personal success for himself and no one else?
He could have left him.
He obviously cares about his father because he never called himself King Vegeta.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is technically
he respects
the king.
Him. He respects him, but I'm saying, like, he respects the memory of him.
Vegeta's a good dad. Vegeta's a better dad than Goku.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about King Vegeta.
King Vegeta.
I think he was a good dad to what we got to see of him. I don't think he was the best dad. I think he was a good dad.
I think he was a shitty
Paragus
dad. Paragus was
in the beginning. Flash, he was a decent dad.
Great dad in the beginning.
Then he just turned. Yeah,
yeah, but
the
he
back
also
half.
Lived on a he lived yeah. on a planet alone with his son and a bunch of animals trying to kill him for 40 years. How would you end up?
That's a long ass time.
It's a long ass time.
That means Paragus had to be like 70.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. He's the only Saiyan. He's the only. By the way, that's another thing. He was the only Saiyan I've ever seen to age the way he did.
Yeah,
he had like gray hair and he had like you know his skin started like Vegeta and Goku which, have not aged.
Because we saw him old though.
Yeah, and then Broly didn't age either though, which was weird. So it's like,
how come you age, bro?
I think it's like they stop at a certain point, but then
it just
they
falls grow,
they can grow hair because when they were in the chamber and stuff, Goku
they
and
grow beards.
And
they had beards.
Yeah, they grow came beards. Out
with, which was dope. I wish they you know
got kept that for a little bit.
Oh, one thing I had to say, their fucking outfits in the cold, those jackets,
yeah,
were fucking hard.
Yo,
that shit was hard, and they were just chilling. I was like, yo, like whoever thought of that, like. You know, I'm big on like.
Well, here's the thing. Shit, there's like, I forgot this guy's name. I follow him though, but there's some guy. He made those jackets for you to buy.
Really?
Yeah. He sells those jackets and they look super authentic.
I gotta see how much.
You gotta look that up.
I like the word super. By the way, that was a nice placement there, Keenan.
It was dope. Like they came in, I was all like, it was like you put on your winter stuff, and I'm like, okay, how this shit about to look? And then they came out, and then they were just chilling, especially when like Goku and Vegeta were just standing next to each other, and they was fighting with that stuff on with them. And I was like, yo,
what
this
was
is
dope
hard.
Was that they were kind of like in that part, they were kind of like, yo, fam, like. Like, you're mad at Vegeta, but Goku's kind of like, fam, he ain't got shit to do with that. Like,
I felt that. When it's like, yo, bro, that has nothing to do with us. Like, what are you? And then, oh, I guess we're fighting. You know? I felt that because it's like, yo, this is his dad. Like, this has nothing to do with Vegeta. Vegeta wasn't involved with that decision-making process.
Nope.
He wasn't even like, and when everything went down, he wasn't even on the planet. Like,
right. Yeah. And even then, too, I think that didn't raise the stakes at all either because even Vegeta, like, I think if Vegeta would have put more weight into it and he was like, you know what? Yeah, that's what my dad did. Fuck your couch, nigga. Yeah. Like, if he was like, yeah, then I was like, okay. But then he was just like, no.
Yeah.
So then right at that moment, it's like everything, like, it doesn't hold any weight.
And I think that would have changed a lot of the movie.
Yeah, because I think if Vegeta was kind of like, yo, I will pay for my dad's sins because I stand by everything my dad. Yeah, my proud sin. Whatever my dad does and says goes. So what you want to do about it?
Right. Fuck then, you and your daddy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Fuck you. Fuck your dad. Right. You know.
Yeah. The stakes don't really come up until halfway through the movie when Broly does go Super Saiyan. They're like, fuck, if we don't beat this dude, like, he's just going to go
destroy
the whole planet with his power. But that's like.
So it's just like, how many. And then coming before that, how many times has the world, like. And you living in a space where people come back and stuff like that. So it's like the gravity of that, of him blow. Like, I never felt like I was in any danger. Like, I said, when you had those other villains before, you felt like if shit don't go right, like, people are going to be killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, even taking kind of Frieza's teeth out away from him, just being like, he wants to get the Dragon Balls. He has them.
Right.
What's he going to do with it? He's going to make himself, five centimeters tall.
And that was my next, funny with that the was my next and kind of, like, final thing was, like, the two wishes that were wanted to be granted.
Bulma's and Frieza's.
Bulma's was to look slightly younger.
Yeah.
Because she don't want people to be like, what, you got Botox?
Right.
Like, their wishes were so ridiculous.
So petty.
It was so goofy. Like,
so
that
petty.
Made the movie super goofy for me. And that's how you, like you say about Vash and stuff, like, that just made it, like, super goofy. And then the animation to go with it, it's, like, it's not the same gritty animation that it was in the early 90s.
That's true.
So with it being more polished and bright and cartoony, like, I felt like it was, like, a kid's movie almost.
Well, yeah. I will say this, comedically, because when I went to go watch, I think it was Resurrection Extra or Battle of Gods in the theater before, too, the humor in that was 10 times better to me. The humor in this, I think I might have laughed kind of, like, one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess people don't go to watch Dragon Ball for humor, but I feel like they tried and there was a lot of misses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they tried to make stuff funny besides like their wishes. Their wishes were kind of like, all right, that's mad petty for both of them.
Yeah.
And then I think it was one part made me laugh when the dude was trying to pick him up before he fell down the ice. He was like, hold on, man. He's like, what you been eating, bruh?
Yeah.
And then that was kind of like made me laugh a little bit. But other than that.
You didn't laugh when Vegeta's like, I'm not doing this stupid dance. Yeah. I was done. I was feeling Vegeta. Like,
I wasn't laughing, but it's Vegeta's character to act that way. He's kind of like, this is silly.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like necessarily laughing at it.
Well, Vegeta called him a dumbass for some reason.
No, he called him an idiot, dumbass. Yeah, he's going in.
Yeah.
Yo, Vegeta went in on Goku in this movie, like, verbally. Like, it was awesome. And I felt every single time. I was like, you
idiot.
But I do want to know now, and we're going to wrap this up. I want to explore, because pretty much they stated that, is there going to be a new form now for Vegeta and Goku? Because now they know that Broly's form is pretty much the Ozark form, whatever it's called. I forgot what it's exactly called, but the big gorilla form, compressed into staying human. Yeah.
Right.
Are they going to try to explore that now?
I thought that's what a Super Saiyan 3 was. Remember when Goku became a Super Saiyan 3? He became a big golden monkey and then had to, like...
No, he was Super Saiyan 4.
Oh.
Yeah, that was 4. So that's not...
3 was long hair.
Yeah. 4, nobody cares.
So you think they start to explore and go Super... Do you think Super Saiyan 4 becomes into the Super World and becomes what they kind of do?
I think with the colors, I think they did away with the numbers. If they would have went Ultra Instinct, then maybe I could see another level, but they didn't go Ultra Instinct.
I don't know. I don't think Ultra Instinct's a form. I think it's just an ability.
Yeah.
I think it's a form. He turns gray.
Yeah.
But it's not
a Saiyan thing, because like all the gods of destruction he did it, which means they can do it too. It's just like sort of a state of being.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like pretty much every anime is always trying to go into being.
Do they
like,
turn gray though?
I mean, we don't know what we haven't seen him do.
Yeah, I don't know. Where's Zeno in all of this? I don't know.
But they also stated in this shit that, yo, I don't think it's true. But they were like, yo, is Broly stronger than you're strong? He's probably stronger than Beerus. I think Beerus on a low been training, because I think he's seen them get stronger. It's kind of like, yo, fam, this is getting out of hand. I ain't about to stay at this level that I'm at.
Is Whis still stronger than all of them?
Yes,
clearly. He did to Broly.
No, I'm just saying, like, Goku and Vegeta were training to become Super Saiyan Blue, like, he was so much faster than them. He wrote his name on their chest.
Yeah.
You know, without them even realizing, while dodging both of their attacks at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's like, for me, that's so many levels beyond where they still are right now. Like,
I think Whis knows Ultra Instinct already.
His dad, the guy, the Archangel.
All the angels are super powerful, because when all those universes are getting eliminated, they're just standing there kind of cool as a cucumber, like, fuck, oh well. Like, they shrug and they're just like, whatever. Like,
and they train the gods pretty much.
Mm-hmm. They train all the gods of destruction. I just think that if they do another tournament of power, if they don't bring Broly into it, because Broly is more powerful than Jiren. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, Broly's the most powerful character in all of it.
So does Jiren get beat by them? Because like I said, I never finished it. Does Goku beat Jiren?
Oh my god! All right, moving on.
I would just YouTube the fight scenes. I'm just saying,
we already ruined this whole movie for somebody who's gonna watch it. Like, we just did all the spoilers. I can't spoil the entire show. Yeah, Dragon Ball Super.
I think just go on YouTube and type in, you know, Goku versus Jiren at last fight scene, mm-hmm. and get
it's
to
like I said, good. I started just it right when like I stopped watching it right when the big universe tournament started.
That's the only part that was really worth watching in the entire show.
And that's kind of why I stopped watching it.
Everything else up to that.
Yeah. Okay, guys. So, Rob, what's your final thought on the movie?
I liked it. I definitely feel what Ice is saying, like, not a lot of stakes, but it was a fun movie to just, like, go show up and, like, I thought the story stuff at the beginning was interesting, and then, like, but it was just to get to, you know, 45 minutes to an hour worth of fighting scenes, mm-hmm. which were cool. I liked it. Just for what it was.
Are you going to recommend it to somebody?
I would recommend it to Dragon Ball fans. Like, if you're just like, oh, I'm an anime person, or like, oh, I don't really know what Dragon Ball is coming into this, I probably wouldn't recommend it.
Oh, okay. Rob? I mean, Brennan?
I felt like it was a roller coaster rush of adrenaline that has some of the best animation I've seen, and a lot of, like, it's top tier when it comes to the animation and the fights.
Agreed.
The nostalgia is off the charts. It's mm-hmm. probably the most nostalgic I've ever been watching any form of anime movie. So like Rob said, if you are a fan of Dragon Ball Z, if you ever watched it as a kid, even if you only were a casual watcher of the show, I still think you would probably find something to enjoy in this movie. Personally, I want to go see it again in the theater, but this time I want to get really high and go see it, because I was completely sober because I wanted to be, you know, in my mind to be able to talk about it today.
Right.
But I feel like if I got high and went and watched it, I'm just going to be like gripping my seat the whole time.
Those first person scenes that probably do you over.
Oh yeah. I'm going to do that.
Nice.
For me, I like the nostalgia of it. I think that was big. They didn't ride the nostalgia on the coattails to the point where it's like, okay, this is just a walk in memory park. I think how they disseminated the memories and the nostalgia across the whole movie was good. I just think the stakes and the soundtrack and the goofiness of it kind of took the wind out of it for me.
Mm-hmm.
would I recommend it? I would, like Rob said, for people that isn't Dragon Ball, I think that is. As far as, especially as far as, like, anime movies go, like, it's probably one of the better anime movies and some of the better Dragon Ball Z movies.
Yeah.
It might be the best one.
It's
Dragon Ball Z?
I think there's a couple Dragon Ball Z movies that are really good. I like the cooler movies a lot myself. Mm.
Just to say, is this the best Dragon Ball movie? I don't know. It might have some of the better visuals, but I don't think it's the best.
What I do like about this is they got to the action quick. Yeah. Like,
and that's been a running most of the movie.
Yeah, that's been a running joke for Dragon Ball Z for the past two decades. Is they power up, you know, the planet is blown up in 5 minutes, and that's a 15 episode. Yeah. You know, for them to get to that, but I think I don't want to say they got to it too fast, but I feel like they, like I said, the stakes and Vegeta just, like, when Vegeta blew off, you know, that whole blood thing, the bloodline thing and all of that, that was done. Like, but I would recommend it. I might even go see it again just so I can double back and
be
look
less
at
of
it.
A hater.
And my ticket was $6. Like, I paid $6 for my tickets.
This, where the fuck, you know, did you go?
What?
Matinee? Alhambra? No, it was like at 7 o'clock.
Oh, that's why you don't have any friends. Go ahead.
Yeah. Out the gate, I will recommend it. I'm with you guys on it to recommend it to Drag. Well, I don't know, because like I said, my lady is not a fan of it. She doesn't watch anime like that. And the two things that she's watched that she's liked is My Hero because of
Woo!
Because Brandon gonna say because of him. But
yes, it is because of me.
And she watched this movie and she's like I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, yeah, I sat there, I had a good time.
Yeah.
I think it's tougher for people who've watched it before, like who've known it before.
I think everybody would like it.
I think, I think about it, like, yeah, that people that haven't watched Dragon Ball and don't really have that tie into it, like, not people that watch anime, but like people like your girlfriend that don't have that, you know, strong of anime background, it kind of brings you up to speed.
It does,
to what,
yeah,
of what's going
fair
on.
Because to me, I would say, like, and for me, on my final thoughts about it, I don't know if you knew about Dragon Ball Zero, and they kind of gave like the backstory to Bardock, yeah, and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. But I love the same backstory. The humor was borderline trash, and the visuals was just amazing, and the fight scenes. I would definitely recommend it. I want to go see it again in IMAX if they can put it in, because it wasn't in IMAX that we went to go see it in.
No.
I want to go see it again in IMAX if they ever put it in IMAX theater. I think it was fire. I think it was fire. I like the movie a lot. I can't say it's the best Dragon Ball movie though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't say.
What I do like the whole, let me come back and show you guys, like, if I had your technology, if I had your animation, like, what I could have been for anime. I mean, it was the OG for anime, but it's like,
Yeah, it's amazing.
I like when it came back. I like that whole, like, here, let me show you how I can maneuver with what you guys have now, what a Naruto
you need
has.
You need to go watch the last episodes of Dragon Ball Super.
I would definitely recommend that, because even some of the visuals on that is amazing.
Yeah,
but
it's some of the best.
Yeah, some of those last fights are insane.
Yeah, they're crazy.
It's very intense. But, Rob, you want to drop your stuff?
Yeah, RVDanger44 on Twitter, RVDanger on Instagram.
Brennan.
At Mr. Producer Face on the gram.
Ice.
The eye exam, THEIYEXAM. Did anybody show up? We have friends? Anybody?
We didn't even look. We was late. We was late.
Yeah, I actually called Rob right outside the theater, and then coincidentally, when I got to my seat was taken, and when I sat in the seat that I had to sit in, it didn't recline. I was very
young. Oh, I would have pressed him.
Whoops.
I would have pressed
him. Yeah, that was Rob in my seat, so I wasn't going to press. Rob. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even know.
Keenan was just like, did you do this on purpose? And I was wrong. But I literally hadn't even said that.
Yeah, and I wasn't tripping. I was just like, fuck, everybody. I seen everybody relax backwards. I'm just sitting there stiff as fuck.
He did it on purpose.
I'm Keenan Baker at everything, man, Instagram, stuff like that. And we hope you guys enjoyed the super movie. If you did, man, drop us a comment on Instagram or DM or on the Facebook page. Let us know what you thought about the movie. And thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Anime Shun. We'll be back next week finishing up Trigun.
We out here.
And so anime was solved forever.